Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsive day for the 13th of Kislev. We're going to study the Teshuvah of the Chatam Sofer, the fifth volume, the Choshen Mishpat section, Siman Kuf Ayin Bet, responsive number 172. But in finding it, I had a humbling reminder of my limitation and the limitation of this series. Part of the reason I've gotten to this series was I think it's cool and interesting to find a Teshuvah written on the particular Hebrew date that you're listening to it and you're thinking about it. But I was also interested in the larger project of when you randomize a set of tshuvot. Meaning if you randomize an approach to Jewish literature, what do you find there? Because I always worry, and I found it in other people, and it's likely true of myself as well, that when we come to decide what to stress and what to study and what to analyze in our understanding of Judaism, then we, I think, run the risk of sort of shaping it in our own image, of finding there what we wanted to find anyway. And I think about that a lot for various reasons. So that's why when I look for these tshuvot, I try to find tshuvot that aren't, you know, I pick this tshuva because it's so good. That's part of what I'm trying to do in picking them by date, is that it sort of takes the choice away from me. Today, however, I was confronted with the fact that there are limitations on that, because I found several tshuvot. There's tshuva in the Netziv, a few tshuvot in the Netziv in Meshiv Dover that we usually don't get to the Netziv so often, and I very much wanted to do them, and I wasn't able to find the way to convey them in ways that I thought would be interesting to my listeners. So too, a tshuva of cooks about treifos issues, right? How you decide whether an animal is a treif or not. So then there are very technical issues about what kinds of lesions and adhesions and scarring that you have in tissue and in organs and what makes a treif or not. Again, I wasn't able to convey it. And then there was a long set of tshuvot in Har Tzvi, with Tzvi Pesach Frank, but also two issues that come up with sending a get via a messenger. Once again, we will have to wait for another time to do that because I was not able to do that. But what I did find, and I hope we will enjoy our time studying together, is a responsum in the Chatam Sofer about issues of hiring oneself out for the long term. The Chatam Sofer starts off with an idea of the Maharam Mirutenberg in a tshuva and a responsum that's also quoted. It's quoted in the tshuvot Maimoniot in the back of the Rambam. There were response, Ashkenazic response, that were printed in the back of the Rambams in various sections. So in the part about Kinyan, about acquiring things, responsum number 32, the Maharam Mirutenberg says that the halachic fact that a Jewish worker is allowed to decide in the middle of a day or in the middle of a contract, basically, that he doesn't want to fulfill the rest of the contract. There may be financial ramifications. He may owe money to compensate the person who made the contract with him for the loss. That we'll get to a little bit, and that's certainly true in some way. But fundamentally, he's allowed to do it, that you're not allowed to keep him on the job. That's a Kal Vachomer from an Eved Ivri. So what's the Kal Vachomer from an Eved Ivri? A Kal Vachomer that is that an Eved Ivri has the halachic right. If he somehow assembles the money to pay off the rest of his contract, he's allowed to pay off the rest of his contract and leave. So Maharam Mirutenberg says, if an Eved Ivri who has been sold into halachic slavery — the word slavery is a bad word in the English language because of all the terrible ways that we've looked at slavery, and in fact, an Eved Ivri isn't quite a slave, partially for this very reason, that he has the absolute halachic right to buy out the rest of his contract. So it's much more like a long-term contracted employment where you cannot leave unless you pay off the contract. So Maharam Mirutenberg says that's true of an Eved Ivri. He's allowed to buy out the rest of his contract. Certainly, somebody who never became an Eved Ivri, never sold himself into halachic Jewish slavery to another Jew, but rather just signed on as an employee, that person will have the right to break the contract. Now, it's not okay to break a contract. There's halachic, not ramifications so much, but the person who's on the other side of the contract has the right to be upset about it. He has taromet. He has perhaps a mishapara. He might have the right to invoke a certain kind of a curse on a person who does it for no good reason. But as a matter of halachic fact, the employee will be allowed to leave. So that's what the Maharam Mirutenberg said. You see it from a Kal Vachomer. If an Eved Ivri who has been sold into his position is nonetheless allowed to find a way out of the position, should he pay it off, then the poel certainly is allowed to get out. Now, the poel will eventually have to pay it off as well. So that's why it works as a Kal Vachomer. The difference will be that the Eved Ivri doesn't get out until he pays it up front, it would seem like, whereas because he has to end that servitude that, to which he had sold himself, whereas the poel will be able to, the employee will be able to take it on as a loan, as a debt that he'll have to pay off. That's the position of Maharam Rittenberg, and it's quoted in the Haggadah Mordechai, and the name of the Maharam, when the Mordechai quotes it, he quotes the Kal Vachomer as that an Eved Ivri is gufo konui. In some halachic sense, in various halachic senses, his body is owned by the owner for the duration of the contract of the indentured servitude for various functions, such as he's not allowed to walk to go anywhere he wants to. The owner has the right to tell him where he can and cannot go. The owner has the right to give him a non-Jewish slave wife. To breed with. There's all sorts of halachic issues where you see gufo konei, and nonetheless, he's allowed to buy out the rest of his country if he acquires the money. All the more so that a sakhir, an employee who's never been owned in any way, has the right to do that. There too, they take the position that a person not allowed to sign a contract or hire himself out for more than 3 years at a time. And there's another Mordechai in Bava Metzia who says that all of the leniencies that apply to an Eved Ivri obviously should also apply to employees. So whatever leniencies there are by a Jewish slave should apply to an employee as well. And the Kal Vachomer is that an Eved Ivri, a Jew who sells himself into slavery to another Jew, is violating a prohibition of the Torah. So if an employee who has not violated anything, that person should have all the same rights as well. That's the opening salvo in our discussion. Just to make clear where this goes in halacha, this is actually also codified in halacha in Choshen Mishpat and Shin Lamed Gimel in 333, paragraph 3, that if a employee starts on a job and in the middle of the day decides he doesn't want to do the job anymore, he's allowed to. And even if you already got all the money, for what he had been paid, and he doesn't have the money to pay it back. So let's say, I'm in desperate straits, God forbid, I need a job. Job for a week, they're going to pay me $200. I need the $200. I get the $200. I pay off my rent, let's say, right up front. And then by Wednesday, I think this is not a job I can stand, whatever the job might be, and I have to stop the job. So I've worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I come at the end of the day, Wednesday. Guy says to me, well, I have to let you go, even though I'm very upset about it, but you owe me 2/5 of what I paid you. So that would be, $80. Where's the $80? I don't have it. Nonetheless, I'm allowed to, he can't force me to come back to work. I'm allowed to go and do whatever I want, like leave the job, but the money will become a debt. And the reason that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, and this is based in the Maharam as well, I mean, it's based in the Gemara, the reason this quote is because the verse in Vayikra Chaf Hey 25, Pasuk verse 55 says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, the Jewish people are my slaves, right? So if they're Hashem's slaves, and we're taking that each to be Hashem's slaves, then we are not allowed to enslave each other, and that means that we cannot treat a person like a slave, and keeping them in a job, even if they don't want to be in the job, that is keeping them in a slavery. So that's not allowed. The Ramah right there says, and we're going to get to this later in this response, and that's why I'm mentioning it now. He says that's also why a poel, as we also saw just quoted from the Mordechai, that's why an employee, even if the employee is like a teacher or a scribe, and the reason why you see those people is because teachers, very often in those days, if you had a wealthy family and they wanted to educate their children, they'd hire a teacher. Teacher would live in the house for years at a time while the children grew up and would just educate the children as they grew up. They'd be private in-home tutors. So the grandma says, even such a person with such an arrangement, or a sofer, there's a family scribe, or you need a bookkeeper, you need somebody who's going to write the stuff, nonetheless, they cannot hire themselves out to be there for more than 3 years. Now, at the end of the 3 years, or at the end of 2.5 years, they can sign again for 2.5 years, but more than 3 years, they can't do it. We'll see later on in this response that the assumption is that more than 3 years doesn't any longer count as a sakhir relationship, as a hired hand relationship. It's already itself left that realm and come too close to being a slave relationship to be allowed. So that's all the Maharam and the Mordechai. But there's a Tosfot in Bava Metzia, and this was what mentioned by the correspondent of the Chatam Sofer. Tosfot in Bava Metzia, Yud Amid Aleph, that on the words Kili B'dei Slav Adim in the Gemara, the Tosfos says, it seems to them that a person can hire themselves out to do certain kinds of labor, I think he means to say. Tosfos is talking about the fact that the Gemara there makes it very clear that while an employee is hired out to his employer, anything that he acquires becomes the property of the employer because that's part of the employment. If I've hired somebody to be my laborer for the day, I in some sense, own them for the day, in the sense that, let's say, if they find something along the road, it's mine. It'd be an interesting question today about whether, about airport, about travel miles. It would seem like the travel miles would maybe go to the owners, even though today the common custom is they go to the employee. But in any case, Tosa says, so that's good. Mar says, a poel, whatever the poel buys, whatever the poel finds, whatever the employee finds, really belongs to the owner. Gemara says, because his hand, his acquisition, or her acquisition, power, becomes the owner's for the duration of the employment. So the Gemara says, but I understand, they're not fully like that, because an employee can leave in the middle of the day, in the middle of the job. So the Gemara says, that's because of our pasuk that we just quoted, that we're not allowed to make a slave relationship with owners. So the Gemara says, the Tosu comes and says, but that doesn't mean you can't hire on to be a poel. You might have drawn the conclusion that therefore you shouldn't be able to hire on for this kind of employment, because you are sort of ceding your independence, in the sense that your powers of acquisition will become those of the employer for the duration of the contract. So Tosu says, no, that you're allowed to hire yourselves out for a job, because solely in Eved Ivri, they've done allowed to do that. And the reason why in Eved Ivri a Jewish slave is not allowed to really do it, except for certain occasions that we'll get to, except for circumstances of great distress and great emergency, that's when a person might be allowed to sell themselves to be an Eved Ivri. It also says the reason for that is that an Eved Ivri can't go back in the middle. But as long as you can go back in the middle, that is enough independence to avoid the status of an Eved, in terms of the Torah saying, Ki li b'nei shel avadim avadayhem. And since an employee can, if he or she wants to, leave the job in the middle, and the employer can get money back, can get compensated for financial damage, but cannot insist the person finish up the job, so that's good enough. And then it's good enough, to be better than an Eved Ivri, because an Eved Ivri, after all, can only get out if he or she is giving the money up front. The estimate, Giron Kesa, for an Eved Ivri, is that he basically has to find the money and pay it off at the moment of freedom. Otherwise, he cannot and does not go free. Unless, of course, the owner wants to be a good guy about it, then he can. But that's not the halachic requirement. So, Chatzim Sofer says, I didn't quite understand, if the employee is allowed to change his mind on the job, and we derive that from the fact that an Eved Ivri, if the Maharam said it's a Kal Vachomer from an Eved Ivri who's allowed to pay it off, then how could it be that we say that the employee is not like the Eved Ivri, right? The reason we said that you're allowed, Tosa says you're allowed to hire yourself out because you're not like an Eved Ivri, because you're allowed to go out in the middle. But now it turns out that the whole idea that you're allowed to go out in the middle is sort of derived from the fact, from a Kal Vachomer, from an Eved Ivri, then everybody's allowed to pay it off, so the employee is allowed to go out. So how's that working is the question that the Chatzim Sofer is struggling with. So the man who had written the letter to the Chatzim Sofer had a whole long discussion. We don't have it in front of us, but the Chatzim Sofer refers to Mituch Orech Devarav. From the length of what he was writing about, it seems that he understands the Gemara of Metzia, which says that the employee can leave in the middle because of the verse that says Jews are not allowed to really be full slaves, was telling us an Isur, a prohibition, against becoming that way. And Chatzim Sofer is not true. It's telling us halacha that a poel, that an employee, is owned by the owner for the duration of the contract, of the labor position, and that which he buys, and that which he acquires, really belongs to the owner, and nonetheless, he or she is allowed to abrogate the agreement in the middle. And for that, says the Chatzim Sofer, you really couldn't bring a proof from the case of an Eved Ivri leaving if he pays it off, because the whole idea that an Eved Ivri can pay off and then leave is talking about a situation, for most situations, where an Eved Ivri is sold by a Beit Din for having stolen something, right? That's one way somebody becomes an Eved Ivri. They stole something, can't pay off the item they stole, then a court will sell them to get the money to pay off the thing that was stolen, or it can happen by an ama named Keret Aladavia, a young woman who was sold by her father for various reasons, another topic, and that's also against her will, but we're talking about a poel. And a poel, now there's one more case. There could be a person who has no money that we're going to get to, and therefore has to also sell himself into slavery just because he has really nothing to get by on. We'll get to that in a second. But if we're talking about an employee who's hiring himself out, there's an at-will element to that. He's doing it because he wants to make money, and he wants the job, and he's doing it for a limited period of time, and he has the right to change his mind about it in the middle. And what will happen is he'll be considered a mechusar amana. He'll be considered lacking in trust, not trustworthy, or there'll be a mishapara, there'll be the invoking of a curse against him. But it's all not the same thing. It could be, for example, that it could be whatever, but it could be that therefore they're not similar enough that you should be able to learn one from the other because they're very different situations. And yet, the Gemara says that really a Jew can't sell himself to be like an Eved Kenani, like a full slave, right, or a fuller slave, because Hashem owns us more and Hashem bought us first, as it were, and that's the verse of Kivu B'nei Sol Avadim. But how do you know, the Chasam Sofer says, where do we get the idea that if you sell yourself and you're not able to get out of the job in the middle, that's already considered too much of a sale, and it's considered an Eved Kenani kind of a sale. It's like a full sale, and you become a full slave. And that's what the Maharam was trying to explain. The Maharam was trying to explain that even just selling yourself in the sense of I can't get out of it unless I pay it off somewhere in the middle, that's a violation of the Torah. Because when it comes to a ganav, to a thief, the Torah had said you have to be able to get out by paying it off in the middle. So if somebody were to sell themselves in a way that they couldn't get out, that's what I'm saying. If I became an employee, let's say I just took a contract for a week. I'm going to work for you for a week, but during this week, I can't get out of the contract at all. So the Maharam was saying that is already evidence of being a slave sale, like an Eved Kenani slave sale. Why do I think that's true, says the Maharam? Because even the kind of a person who is being sold into to being an Eved Ivri, to being a Jewish slave, and has done something wrong, having stolen and not had the money to pay it back, the Torah had enough compassion on that person that he comes out begiron kesef, that if he finds the money to pay off the rest of the contract, he does. If so, whoever can't leave in his time is considered no longer to be an Eved Ivri, because the ability to leave in some way, now for an Eved Ivri, the ability to leave is by paying off the rest. With a regular employee, we're saying he doesn't need to pay off the rest, but the Maharam's point was the more underlying point. The fact of the ability to leave, that there has to be an ability to leave, is for the Maharam one of clearly defining factors between being an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kenani. And the verse of Kili B'nei Sol Avadim, Avadahem, is telling us we can never be allow ourselves to be an Eved Kenani. Chasam Sofer says, and as part of this understanding of it, he had come to believe, and he had said somewhere else one time, that explains to him the Gemara that talks about piercing the ear of a slave who says, I don't want to go free. Right, so the slave says, I don't want to go free. You pierce the Torah says, you pierce the ear of that person. Why do you pierce the ear of that person? So there's a whole discussion, but one of the answers that's given is that the ear that heard at Har Sinai, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, the Jews are my slaves and not somebody else's slaves, went and bought a slave for him, a master for himself, so you should pierce that ear. Problem with that, with saying that, the people have noticed many times before, the Chasam Sofer is just offering his answer right now. The problem with saying that is that if that were true, then the ear should be pierced when the person did it, right? If what we're complaining about in this reading is that the person has accepted a master other than Hashem, that happened back when he started in the slavery. So the Chasam Sofer suggested that no. The verse of Kili B'nei Sol Avadim Avadahem is only about the slavery of selling oneself to a Kenani, as an Eved Kenani, not to a Kenani, as an Eved Kenani, of selling oneself fully and irrevocably. But that's not true of an Eved Ivri, because an Eved Ivri has the right to go out. He has the right to pay off the rest of the term and go out. So it's once that time has come when he's supposed to go free, and now he says, I love my my Kenani wife, my non-Jewish wife, and I love my Kenani children, I'm not going free. So now he's Nimkar L'Kenani. He's sort of being sold. He's not really being sold to an actual Kenani. He's being sold, but he's being sold, the Chatzos are saying, in the name of the Kenani, or out of his desire to be connected to a Kenani, and that's where this prohibition comes in. So for the Chasam Sofer, the whole question, the whole idea is that the Torah, when the Torah said, "Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim avadahem," that we're slaves to Hashem and not to anybody else, that means to prohibit only a slavery where we're completely enslaved to somebody else. So even an Eved Ivri isn't fully violating that, because the Eved Ivri has the ability and the right to go out of that slavery, when he should amass the money. And that has relevance to the regular employees as well, because the right to leave and even take it on as a debt comes from that same idea, that if we were to say to them, you're not able to leave because you made an agreement and you must stick to this agreement of employment, that takes an element of an Eved Kenani situation that's not allowed. Nonetheless, says the Chatam Sofer, that doesn't mean to imply that you are allowed to sell yourself to be an Eved Ivri. Right? There too, if there's no condition, if you don't have the reasons that make it necessary to sell oneself, so the Rambam laid them out, but the Shach and Choshen Mishpat gives them to us as well, and that's what the Chasam Sofer referred to, so I looked that up. The Shach says, you can't sell yourself to be even an Eved Ivri, so an Eved Ivri is better than Eved Kenani. Let's remember, because an Eved Ivri has the right, if he should ever get the money together, to buy his way to freedom, and therefore you might have thought that that's okay. He says, nope, you're only allowed to sell yourself to be an Eved Ivri if he really has no other way of making a living, and he has no clothing, and it's in the Torah at Kohanim, which is the Midrash Halacha on Vayikra, it's in the Rambam, it's in the Smad, but if he's so poor that he really doesn't have any clothing, and he can sell himself, then he can sell himself. And the Shach says, once he's going to sell himself, he can sell himself for more than a couple of years. He can sell himself for a lengthy period of time, because he can sell himself to the point that he can get himself back on his feet. So such a person, says the Shach, should be allowed to hire themselves out for more than that period as well. Meaning he's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch that we saw before, the Rambam, who had said, you can't hire yourself out for more than 3 years, because once you hire yourself out for more than 3 years, it's almost like becoming an Eved Ivri. You're not allowed to sell yourself to be an Eved Ivri. Shach points out, but we have a tradition that there are situations when people are into such financial distress that they are in fact allowed to sell themselves even to be an Eved Ivri. So all the more so they'd be allowed to sell them, to hire themselves out to be an employee. So that would have relevance, let's say, for the case that we had in the Rambam earlier. If somebody is a teacher and a family says, listen, we want to hire you to be our in-house, you know, governess or educator or whatever it is, but we don't have to look again. We have a 3-year-old. We know we're going to need somebody for the next 9 years. If you want to come on for 9 years, so you can come on for 9 years. So ordinarily that wouldn't be allowed, but 9 years might not be allowed because everybody can't do more than 6 years. But let's say 6 years, 5.5 years. So 5.5 years more than the 3 years that the Rambam is willing to let. So argues the Shach, okay, but if this is a person who really has no clothing even without getting a job, so that person would have theoretically been allowed to sell themselves even into Jewish slavery, so that all the more so he thinks he would be allowed to hire himself out for these purposes, especially since he can leave in the middle if something comes up, right? Then the Chasam Sofer raises another question. We have it in the Gemara that Eved Ivri, the whole idea of an Eved Ivri, is only allowed to be enacted bizman hayovel nohek, at a time when the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, when the agricultural cycle is such that you have Shemitah going on, you have Yovel going on, right? You have every 7 years you have the sabbatical year for the land, and every 50 years you have a jubilee year. So those halachot are interconnected with the halacha of Eved Ivri for reasons that we'd have to learn a different Gemara to find out, to remember. But they're interconnected. In the time when Yovel is not happening, as it's not happening in our times, then you should be able to have an Eved Ivri. But if that's true, and we've already established that long-term employees, that in some senses they're body becomes owned by their employer for certain halachic purposes, such as things they find are really belong to the owner and not to them. And in that sense, they're in some sense called an Eved, they're called a slave, and that's part of why there was the halacha is that, you know, Rechaim, no, the halacha is that you're not allowed to ask an employee to do certain things for you, because or an Eved Ivri to do certain things for you, because it looks too much like you're enslaving them fully, as if they were a full and complete Jewish slave, so that's a problem. And yet we tend to say that's a reason not to allow ourselves to do that to this person, because then you're treating them like an Eved, because since Gufo Kanoi, since they are some sense owned for the time of for the term of the employment, therefore if we ask them, told them, require them to do certain kinds of services for us, that would make them not only like an Eved, if we would make them like an Eved Kenani, that we're not allowed to do. But it's odd, says the Chatam Sofer, because after all, we said Eved Ivri doesn't even exist today. And yet now we're saying that by virtue of the fact that they are in some sense belong to us, then they have some status of an Eved Ivri. Another example that he brings up is that the Magen Avraham points out in Or HaChaim, the Shulchan Aruch rules that when a person is having a meal, if any of the food has a good smell to it, then the servant who is serving it, we don't mean slave or servant, which means the person whose job is to serve the meal, the waiter, right? Let's say you hire a waiter, you hire a butler, or whatever it is, you have to give them some of the food right away. And the reason is because they shouldn't be standing there smelling this good food and not having any ability to have any of it. It says, "Umidat chasidut," even a more stringent standard would be to give every piece of food, some of it, to that person as well. Look at what Ram says, even a little bit, but he says, if you made a condition at the time that you hired them that you're not going to do that, so then you don't have to give them every piece of food, but anything that has a smell to it, you would have to, because that's a particular suffering for them to smell the food and not think they're going to get any of it. He says, that's also, by the way, why we allow our employees to do certain kinds of services for us that the Gemara seems to think aren't allowed, such as to bring our clothing to the bathhouse and to put on our shoes, which the Gemara singles out as ways of servitude that seem too servitude, too servile, that seem too similar to what a slave would have to do. So he says he thinks it's as if we made a condition with them before their employment. You make a condition before their employment, he thinks it should be okay. Or another possibility, he says, the Sifre that says that if the person is a free person, then you are allowed to have them do these jobs. So the only problem is if they're doing these jobs while also halakhically in some sense a slave, then it bumps it up a level to being like a full slave. And therefore, that would be a problem. But if they're a completely free person, everybody knows they're a free person, they're doing this service for us, then you're allowed to hire them for it. So forget the question of an employee. Let's say I haven't hired somebody to employ. Let's say I hire somebody just to do this one action for me. So there's room to say, well, he's a free person who's taken on a job. And what the Torah was worried about was slavery. And this is not the fact that it's a job that slaves tend to do, but this person isn't in any way a slave, and therefore it should be okay. So the Chazon says, so it's true, there are elements in which people today can seem like an eved ivri, but the fact is that they're not really an eved ivri because they don't need to be freed, and because there's no idea of that they are owned by the person. They've been hired for a long period of time, and that has ramifications, some of which, for shorthand purposes, will say, oh, it's like an eved ivri. But that, in fact, luckily, they're not like an eved ivri. And the key element of being an eved ivri is whether you're allowed to leave without having to pay off the money right away. If you're allowed to leave without having to pay off the money right away, I mean, it'll be a debt. If you owe money, it'll be a debt, but you don't have to pay it off right away. That is the standard of not being a full eved ivri, and that's what the Gemara meant by we don't have an eved ivri in our time. But the Maharam thought, if you went for longer than 3 years, since longer than 3 years already leaves the standards of ordinary employment, that would look too much like an eved ivri, and therefore shouldn't be done. Whereas the Tosafot of Metzia don't seem to have a problem with that. They seem to think that you can hire yourself out for as long as you do, because the fact that you can leave without needing a shtar, need a document to free you, without having to pay off the money right away, that would be good enough. So there seems to be two opinions the Chassidus Observer saying is about what makes sure that we know that this person is not an eved ivri. Is it enough that he has the right to leave when he wants to, and he doesn't have to, that the employment contract doesn't bind him for the whole term? Is that good enough? Or does it also have to be an employment of less than 3 years? The Maharam felt it has to be less than 3 years. Another example, the difference that the Chassid Sofer pointed out was that, let's say you have an actual eved ivri, and the owner owns it, and the owner says, all right, you know what, I don't need you to pay me off the money. So the person is still not a free. They have to be formally freed from their slavery. In other words, it's not a purely financial issue. It's true, but the eved ivri who brings the money value of the rest of the term can force the owner to then free him, but they're not the exact same thing. It's not a purely financial issue because if I, let's say I were to own such an eved ivri, and let's say the rest of the contract now is, the rest of the year term, the rest of the money that was paid for him was $100. And I say, you know what, I don't need the $100. And I say to him, okay, I forgive the $100 loan. So now he doesn't owe me anything, but nonetheless, there has to be a procedure to get him free. That makes him an eved ivri. Whereas with a poel, with an employee, if let's say I had paid the employee $100 for the week, and come Wednesday I decide he's done enough work, I say, forget it. You paid me off the whole $100. He just leaves, and that's it. So that distinction, so fair, he thinks is an important distinction in whether something has the problems of an eved ivri or not. So fundamentally, the Chassid Sofer is pointing out that we have this big halachic issue that we are not allowed to let Jews, any Jews, become like Avadim Kananim, like become like full and complete slaves. Jews do not do that. You have this middle status called an Eved Ivri, which doesn't apply today, but apply at the time of when the Yovel, when the Jubilee years and the Shemitah were functioning. That Eved Ivri status was not a status one was allowed to voluntarily enter into, but there were circumstances under which one would enter into it. There, you still couldn't be required to stay in slavery for the whole time of the whole term of the original sale, as long as one got the money and put it together and then forced the owner to free him. That was a halakhic right to make sure that that person never becomes like an eved, like a full slave. The question is, when we don't have that anymore, what are the ways in which employees have to make sure not to slip over into being too enslaved to their employer? The Tosfot had the simpler perspective, and their simpler perspective was that since the halacha is, there's an absolute right to leave in the middle, even without paying off the money, that means the person will never be considered an Evid, and that's okay. The Maharam and the Mordechai, as was passed by the Rama, held that no, in addition, going for more than 3 years is a problem, being hired on for more than 3 years is a problem, and therefore it's an issue, and therefore the person shouldn't do it. Shachet said, well, but if the person could theoretically have even sold themselves to be an Evid because they're so poor, then they probably could do this as well, which would open a huge loophole, because unfortunately many people are in fact, or at least at the times of, you know, times of the Shach, many people were in fact so poor that they very much needed jobs to that extent they would have been allowed to do it. Chazal says, and by the way, one place where this applies, you might not have realized it is, let's say you hire a rabbi for a town. So you might think, well, he's living in his own house, and therefore it's okay, and therefore it's not a problem, and therefore we don't have this issue. But the Chazal says, I understand he's being hired by the town. The town, if the town is providing the house, that's an important distinction, right? Sometimes the town provides the house, sometimes he just gets money and he buys the house. But let's say the town provides him the house, so then he's like a slave in the sense that, why is he a slave? He's a slave in the sense that he is living in the owner's house and the owner's place, and he can't, right, and he's been hired on for a term, and according to my Ram and the Rama, if it's more than 3 years, then that's already out of the category of just regular employment, and it becomes close to an every situation. And the Chasam Sofer thinks that's a problem, and he thinks, therefore, that if you're hiring a rabbi for more than 3 years, there should be some kind of a condition that the rabbi has the right to leave in the middle without making without it being a problem, without being an issue, and that right will avoid this problem. But he does say, although they can make a condition, that he can't be hired on by any other community for the terms of this time, because that's a function of they have the right to say to him, you know, we're hiring you on for this time, and you're not going to be able to go on to somebody else. So these are some of the issues in employment, in long-term employment, of when we can avoid and make sure that we don't violate the prohibition. And we can always remember that we are not slaves to anybody but Hashem, and that in virtue of that, we have certain restrictions on how we do and don't make agreements with each other about our employment. And that is a responsum a day for the 13th of Kislev. Have a great day.